Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by Author James T. Deshaies. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is James Deshaies, your host, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and I'm coming to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and we just want to thank everyone for being out there, and I want to thank you for allowing me again to be a part of your world, and I just want to keep you encouraged to keep our show and put our show on your schedule and make us a part of your life, because this show is wants to be used as your vehicle to get your thoughts out, to let people know what you're thinking and your opinion, so that we can be a force that moves our country forward. And that's what it is we want to discuss and talk about. I also want to encourage you to send me your email address so that I can send you ahead of time the topics of the show so you can be prepared to speak on the topics. So make sure that my email address is djames82@aol.com and send me your email address. Reach out to me so that I can put you on my list. Before every show, I try to send out what the topic is so that you all can go view the videotapes, listen to the videotapes, or do the reading, and have an opportunity to kind of decide what it is you want to say about the different topics. There are so many things to discuss, and I want us to just be open enough to carry on a conversation that only not only helps us, but helps those who listen to the show afterwards. So it's real important. And then, like, again, there are always some devastating things happening. And we're going to start off the show today talking about I put it in this context. You know, sometimes we forget the treasures that live amongst us. There are some people who are some very important individuals who bring so much to our living and to our lives and to our happiness, to our joy, and to our ability to just think. And sometimes, you know, there's a saying, say only the good die young. And certainly we've had some devastating things happen lately. And losing Prince a couple of days ago is just one of those things. It is just so bizarre that we would have a situation where we lost someone who has been with us for such a long time, impacting our lives, bringing so much joy to our heart, and to our entertainment. And I have to tell you, I never did get a chance to listen, to go to one of his concerts. And now I feel so lost not having that chance. And it is just, I can just imagine those of you out there who were able to go to one of his concerts, able to experience his talent firsthand, and what the loss feels for you, because the loss is one that was incredible for me, and I just could not understand it. And I could not understand so many different things, you know, and I reflect on how he died and under the circumstances he died, and I kind of reflect back on myself about, you know, how it just seems bizarre about some of the ways people did things and how maybe his life was so private that people didn't feel strong enough to make certain strong suggestions to him, because it just seems like there were so many opportunities to maybe protect him a little more. And so we'd just like to just talk about what your feeling is regarding this icon and what it is that you think. And I tell you, it is just, when I listen to the music and listen to so many of the songs and think about how those songs were such a big part of my life, and I know that when I looked at the news and everything that was going on, that he was a big part of a lot of people's lives. And it certainly shows that we have to respect our icons. And another thing I want you all to think about is this. And I was trying to think of, who do we have? You know, he's 57. Who do we have in that age range, that range of the late 50s to the late 60s, who's still with us? We've lost so many of our icons in that range. Look like the older icons are faring much better than the icons of those of us who are in our 50 range. And so, you know, that's something I'd like us to talk about as well. But I just want to say to you that it was difficult for me to keep listening. I had to listen to every one of them. But I was just taken back by the fact that nobody stayed with him when he was in this medical situation where obviously he was not feeling well or he wasn't at his best. And I felt like, wow, why didn't anybody stay overnight with him or help, spend the night with him or stay close to him so that if there was a need to call for help, that they would have been right there? And then why didn't he stay overnight at the hospital? It was said that at the hospital after the plane landed the first time that they suggested him that he needed to stay overnight, but he insisted he wanted to go home. And once he got home, nobody insisted that he went back to the hospital. And so I was just concerned about that. And it just seems like, you know, we have to be real cautious about our health, because we have no real idea of the extent of our health could be a lot more critical than we first think. So it's important that we just make sure that we fall on the side of caution and not take, because his life was surely lost to us. I see we got a caller out there, so we're going to go straight to the phones and just get a sense of what everybody's feeling and thinking right now in terms of our loss of Prince. 2730, are you out there? Let us know where you're calling from and your name, and just give us an idea of what it is you're feeling.
This is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida, and again, thank you for the opportunity to join everyone tonight. I have to say that when I first heard of the news of Prince passing, my heart just, it was just sorrowful. And while I never really kept up with Prince through his career, a lot of his songs touched my life. And, I mean, he's just truly, he was just gifted. He was talented in so many instruments that he could play. I think to his own self, he stayed true from the beginning to the end. And I was reflecting back when I was first exposed to Prince, and I can remember just feeling, he's different, you know, different during the era in which we were in, and yet he was strong enough to be himself. And, you know, often people say, you know, be authentic, be your authentic self. And as you say, as I've had an opportunity to listen to some of the documentaries and just some of the talk shows that had interviewed him before, it's a way for me to learn a little more about him now. But surely talented, gifted, young man who, like you say, he touched so many lives. And I think that was a good question when we started thinking about truly talented men and women that's in the industry. We've lost so many legends that, you know, they will live on through their music just because of them being as talented and gifted as they have been. But to answer your original question, when I first heard it, my heart just saddened. And I guess it just hurt me because I didn't know the gifts and talents that he brought. But, again, I have to be honest in saying that I really never did keep up with his career as much as I did with Michael Jackson. But one thing I always thought that while I identify him as being different, I never heard any negative scandal items with him. I'm learning now the different wives he had, and I didn't know that. But a lot of our people get into, you know, the limelight and they have so many scandals. And if he did have scandals, it was because of his standing for himself. I do remember the time when he was having some issues with his recording agents. And, you know, he went to the symbol versus his name. And, again, I thought that was a bold statement. So, again, he stayed true to himself. And eventually he returned back to print. So, truly someone that we should remember in touching lives, providing us a gift of music and so much more.
Well, I'll say this to you. You're so right, because there was so many things that came out. And just like you, I enjoyed his music. I didn't follow him closely. I never got a chance to go to one of his concerts. I did get a chance to go to one of Michael Jackson's concerts, but he was always cutting edge. I mean, he was raw. He was, you know, he was not similar to anybody. And I did later on. I learned that he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he was really, you know, a real spiritual man. And got to the point where, you know, he didn't like people swearing around him. And he came out that he was a very private man. And you're so right. He was so much unlike a lot of the other stars, unlike Michael Jackson. He didn't get caught up into a lot of foolishness. So he was not constantly in the eye of the public with some kind of detrimental behavior or somebody suing him or things of that nature. In fact, I don't ever remember at all him, you know, being reported that he was doing drugs or he's never going to jail. Or so he was always, you know, just a class act, as I can see it, you know. So there was not much. I didn't know he had been married twice, but certainly someone of his stature, there's some who've been married tens of times. So being married twice is not an outrageous number of times. And but I also didn't realize he was as small as he was. I didn't realize he was only 5'2", and that seems like an incredible short height for a man. But in all his images and everything that I saw of him, I never did realize that he was that short and that small and that you know, fit. And they said he was really into his health toward the end. So I don't know what was going on. But one of the things, Audrey, I'd like you to reflect on is, why is it that we're losing so many of our young entertainers who are in their 50s or early 60s, but yet the ones who are in their late 60s and 70s are still hanging around? And it just seems like we've lost so many of our entertainers. I think Lionel Richie is the only one that I can remember who may be in his early 60s or late 50s who are still hanging in there. You know, we've lost so many of our, you know, entertainers. It just seems like, you know, what's going on? And I hate the thought of it, but it looks like the older generation, the ones who were born in the 1940s or earlier, are faring much, much better than those who were born in the late 1950s and 60s. What do you say about that?
Well, surely I can't answer the question of a person's lifespan, but I think the way of life may have a lot to do with it. If you think about non-entertainers, you can think of so many people that are living, you know, longer lives, 80s, 90, 100 plus, and yet so many young people are dying so much faster, whether it's health-related or because of the choices that they make. But I think what happened was, you know, the generations before us, they were dealing with things completely different. And not to say that drugs wasn't around, because surely it has been, but I just think the magnitude of drugs, the exposure to, and the level of, and now our athletes and our entertainers are given so much money, and along with that, so many people just want to be associated with them. And you're talking about, I mean, young people just having millions and millions of dollars, and coming from Mississippi, I'll just say it like that, they just go buck wild. And, you know, the lifestyle is something that I think catches up to them. I mean, you ask the question, why wasn't someone with him? You know, how sad is that? As great of a contributor he has been to the entertainment industry, caring people, surely people are showing up in Minnesota now and across the world. But like you said, there was opportunities for his health to be reexamined and reevaluated. And, of course, he's an adult. He may have known a little more about his health than what was shared with family and friends, and he made the choice not to take it, you know, the advice of the doctor. But, you know, how sad is that, like I said, to not be surrounded with someone that cares for you when it's known? It's a difference when, you know, something all of a sudden, but, I mean, there was warning signs of him, you know, having to land and cancel appointments and all as far as his health is concerned, and yet, you know, no one was there with him. That's a sad case, but to answer the question of why, you know, people of our generation is dying, it seems, so quickly, and I think it probably seems that way to us, but, you know, as we reflect on life, we ourselves are growing older, and as we become closer to that 70 mark, which is often used as the scripture of a foundation or a base, we start viewing things differently, I think. I think we start to recognize some of our friends and our associates and our previous neighbors are passing all around us. So I think we start looking at life a little different, and it may not necessarily be that the entertainers in that time frame are passing at a faster rate. It just may be that, you know, we're just more connected to them, and yet we see some of the older ones who are given a lifespan longer. And I say that my mother was able to be released from the rehab this past Friday, on yesterday. And she's 97 years old, and part of the things we think about now is that, you know, she don't have too many friends her age, but yet she's still staying, and we're thankful for that. Again, I think with the entertainers, they just had an opportunity to just go beyond their wildest dreams and some of the things and some of the places they find themselves in don't necessarily warrant longevity. But beyond that, we know that none of us know the date or the time when any of our lives will end. But when you do a comparison of lifestyles and society and cultures and all the choices that people make, I think sometimes that has an influence. Some of our older generations, they're a little bit more wiser. Don't get me wrong, they had some that were renegades, if you would, but by and by, they were just a little more wiser with their decision-making.
Well, when I was reflecting, Audre, on it, one of the things I tried to come up with is, again, I thought about Lionel Richie, who was a part of the Commodores, and I was saying that maybe it was because during that special time in the 70s and the early 80s. We had a lot of bands. You know, we had the Commodores. We had Earth, Wind, and Fire.
KC and Sunshine Band.
And stuff. You know, so, but individually, when I think about it, Lionel Richie is the only solo artist that I can think of. You know, Chaka Khan, you know. But, you know, we've lost, you know, Whitney Houston. We lost Michael Jackson. We lost Lionel Richie. You know, we got
Smokey Robinson still, you know.
Yeah, you have Diana Ross. You have tons of these older artists who are still there, who are in their late 60s, early 70s, who are still out there and who are still working. And it seems like the ones that I remember who were in my age group have really kind of, you know, we've lost some of the most famous ones of all. And, you know, we really need to reflect on what it is that's going on and just treasuring those that we have and just trying to go in a different direction. And maybe that would help our young people as well, if we could help them to understand how their health is so important. I do realize that I'm in a situation where I have allowed myself to get a little larger than I need to, and that is just as dangerous as being involved in drugs. But I heard that Prince was a vegan, so he really was eating real, real healthy, and so those weren't one of the issues. But overall, I just I had this concern after losing so many people lately who were in our age range who to death. It just seems like we're losing a lot of our treasures.
Yeah, I think because of the fact that he wasn't into drugs and he wasn't held, I think that hurts us. I mean, I think that hurts us even more because, like you say, for him to be as young as he is and taking good care of himself. And that's why it goes back to my first statement. We just never know the time and the place. And surely I wasn't referencing his drugs, but I do know a lot of the members in his age group, you know, others that you named, did have that problem. While it didn't apply to him, it's just like any of our friends, you know, members that do take the extra steps to exercise and eat properly and stuff, but yet they can. I do know a young man who was very health conscious, and as a matter of fact, he passed after doing a run. And that, I mean, don't get me wrong, he had ran every morning, is my understanding. It was just part of his schedule. But as young as he was, it was just his time. So, unfortunately, I think that's part of it with Prince, but I still regret that no one was there to care.
Yeah, that was amazing. We have another caller. Let's go to them and see what their reflection is. 3766. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Regina, I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
How you doing, Regina? What are your thoughts on the passing of Prince?
Boy, only thing I have are smiles. And yes, it is sad that he has passed, but the joy that he brought to my life and the lives of three of my other friends especially, is unreal. We had a ball off of Prince. And I remember whether we were at a club or whether we were at our houses on one of our houses on a Friday night, and all of us had gotten off work and somebody going to pick up the fish and somebody had to cook the grits. It was Fish Fry Friday, and oh my goodness. And it was just such fun. So every time we have heard something this week, we would text each other with memory. And really and truly, when, that's the way I want to turn. I want people to have great memories of me. You know, don't mourn. You know, have a celebration of my life that I lived this particular way. I think he lived his life exactly the way he wanted to. When you read things, he wasn't a recluse as I thought he was, as much of a recluse as I thought he was. I saw something that said that he'd gone to a record store and picked up some records. He had friends, but he was very private with his thoughts. He had close friends and confidants. And I think he enjoyed his life. From what I'm understanding, he may have had some health issues and took too much Percocet, which can cause problems. Because I've been on Percocet before, and I would have hallucinations, and I would get off of it. So it can take you to a place where you don't know you're going, health-wise.
What is Percocet for?
Pain.
Oh, okay.
It's a pain medicine, and when I have dental work done, I have to take, like, a high dose of pain medicine, and that's what I took once. And when I found out what the residual effects were of it, I got off of it. But, yes,
but
that
that's
is
one of the things
good.
I couldn't understand. In that huge complex that he lived in that huge estate that he was in, why nobody, after they arrived on his private plane, why nobody went to live with him for a while until he got better? So private, he wouldn't let anybody stay with him. But I just could not imagine being sick and not wanting someone there to be with me. And so I guess maybe he felt comfortable being by himself. I just know I would, you know, if I had a flu or if I just came from the hospital, I want somebody to be close to me. I don't know.
And you're absolutely right. His house looked like a mall. It was huge. And to have no type of, I don't want to say service, his domestic, his housekeepers, his staff. I understand a staff took him home and then left, and when they came back to work the next day, they couldn't get in.
Well, they called him to reach him, and nobody answered, and then that's when they went to see what was going on. But I'm just amazed that nobody found it necessary to spend the night with him for a week or so, knowing that he was, you know, in ill health.
That's what I don't understand. But did he allow it? I mean, did they stay overnight on a regular basis? Evidently not. It was like they were just staff.
Yeah, that's incredible. And,
that is.
And then maybe he was just that private a person. He just didn't want or need people to be there with him. And so,
well, he
you know,
needed somebody there.
Oh, he did. He did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because possibly if somebody had been there, they may have been able to revive him if they would have been there at the time. But certainly him being by himself, that wasn't the case. We're going to take a break, and we got a few other stories we want to talk about, and we'll continue our show. So we're going to take a short break and play a few things. I am a remembrance of Prince. guys, listen, I want to change the direction of the show and talk about some things that are just tragic. And I'm not sure if these things have reached the main stage in terms of America, but I do remember hearing one of the stories that I'm going to talk about first on major national news. And one of the things is, you know, for years and years we talked about the fact that we've taken church out of the schools. And I don't think we've replaced it with anything that is helping our kids with learning how to be humane individuals, learning how to behave and react to things in a sensible manner. And certainly these next two stories shows the worst part of humanity related to us as a nation. And we're going to have to learn to address what it is that we're going through that keeps us returning to a place where we are living in such a despicable manner. The first story I want to talk about is two young ladies, we're talking about middle school, beat a student to death. We have not heard the exact circumstances under how she died or what led to her death, but we had two students who jumped this young lady in the bathroom, and as a result, she was flown to the hospital, and she died. And these are stories that are continually coming out where our young people are living in such a violent manner. And this story happens to be related about a boy. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do as a society to combat this kind of behavior? Are we going to continue to let our kids find themselves in a situation where they do not know how to handle their emotions and deal with their lives in a way that they don't use violence as the method to address every issue? And certainly here, someone sent their child to school for education, and the next thing they do is get a call that their child is in the hospital, beaten to death by two classmates. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that. You know, it's like, what do we do? I believe we're going to have to require our schools to teach some kind of course in humanity and proper behavior, because this is getting to be too much too often related to how our children are behaving in schools and the degree that they would go to fight and punish and hurt each other. And they see it so much on YouTube and so many other places that it's getting to be a sport almost. So I'd like you all to address that. And, you know, how do we deal with the violence that is happening in our schools? And also recently we had a teacher's aide who violently attacked a student, and we don't know why or what the student may have said or what led up to it, but all we did was see this man viciously grab this student and throw him to the ground, and now this teacher's aide has been arrested and is possibly going to lose their job. 9671, will you chime in on this and tell us what it is you're thinking? Nine, six, seven, one, are you out there? All right. 3766, are you there?
Think so.
Okay. Did you hear that about that story, Regina?
About the girl in school.
Yeah, the girl being killed at school and attacked in the bathroom.
Yes, I heard about that. It was not surprising to me. And sometimes I worry that I'm getting desensitized to a lot of these this stuff that's going on. But my children, when I was teaching young people in middle school, they would horseplay a lot, and they never saw the potential danger in the horseplay. And even if they were not horseplaying, even if they were fighting, I was always the type of teacher who would try to show them what could have happened. This person hit his or her head on the floor hard and causes a concussion or causes that person to die. You're going to be charged with murder. So find another way to solve these issues, because you could find yourself spending the rest of your life in jail for something that you did not intend to happen. So when I heard the story, I think I just said, this is what I've always told my children could possibly happen. Because they're not saying whether or not, well, it's two different stories. One story is that someone smashed her head into the sink, and then the other story is that her head hit the sink.
Well, I haven't heard that the two people involved have got arrested. But one of the things, Regina, you and I both are educators, okay? You and I both are educators. And I just think there is time for a national effort to address the inhumanity that is happening throughout our country. And that we need to, a lot of times we say that this is not the school's place. But if the school doesn't step in, where can we be assured that our kids are being taught a way to live their lives in a way that they don't grasp violence as the first way of dealing with their issues?
I think that the operative word is think, T-H-I-N-K. Nobody's thinking. They're not thinking about what could happen, what the repercussions are. They don't think. I think if people thought before they act, that would keep a lot of stuff down. We're just so impulsive. We're so impulsive sometimes, and nobody's thinking.
And I believe you're right. But here we are about to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a vaccine to protect us from mosquito bites that haven't killed anybody, but yet we don't seem prepared or interested to spend millions of dollars on the behaviors of our young people that eventually becomes criminal.
Well, I tell you, maybe I think too much, and maybe I think that the intentionality of not spending money to stop children from criminal behavior, it is an interesting conversation within itself, because there's also that school to prison pipeline that's still out there, and the privatization of prisons, that idea is still out there, and states being sued because they aren't putting people in these private prisons by the private owners of the prison. All that is still out there. It's so much deeper.
But
and
you know, you just heard.
Until
you know
somebody is willing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, but I'm
until
just
somebody is willing to bring this to light and to really expose what's going on, it's going to continue to happen.
But you know, you just heard another story, the one prior to this one, where the group of neighbors were at home, and they arrested, I think, 7 to 9 kids because of a brawl they ended up with a person dying. And so I'm saying, here we are, week after week after week, hearing about our young children being murdered in the street, if not at the hands of each other, at the hands of gangs, and we don't seem to be alarmed enough to spend any large sums of money for that, but we can spend large sums of money for a virus to protect ourselves from a mosquito who is yet to kill anybody. And that's what I find crazy. Sometimes we're willing to spend money on just anything when it comes to a disease, but we don't want to deal with the disease of violence that exists in our society.
Well, I've told you my opinion on it. And it's much deeper. You know, you have to figure out why. Why don't they want to spend the money? And also, it kind of takes, you know, one person at a time. If one of those children who was in that bathroom had been told to think before you act, think, maybe that one person could have stopped that violence. So we're just not, and I agree with you. Something needs to be taught in the schools, because that's where we have them as a captive audience. Something needs to be taught, because evidently what's being taught isn't working.
And the problem is that we talk about bullying. You know, we're so ready, and we got a national plan for bullying, but we don't have a national plan for the school violence or the violence that is impacting our community as a whole. We don't speak of that. We speak of that about how they're treating each other in the media, and we talk about it, but I'm not sure we're putting the money toward it like we were so willing to do this virus that has not killed anyone, and we're just, you know, we're running scared. But we're ready to spend, I think I heard, $200 million on it. But yet, something that impacts our lives every day, the violence that is going on in our society that impacts us every day, we don't hear people talking about. And that just bothers me. It bothers me that we're not, as a society, trying to step up to learn to figure out how to reduce gun violence, how to reduce the violence in schools, how to deal with all this violence that's on YouTube, and it's so prevalent. I mean, you have people out there literally looking for opportunities to videotape this excessive violence so that they can put it on YouTube, and it's just incredible. And so, I just don't understand how we can be so oblivious to violence and close our eyes to it, but yet are so ready and prepared to throw with money at a situation that has yet to kill anybody. That's amazing to me.
James, I just really think that that's a very broad idea that you have, and I do believe that it needs to be narrowed down all the way down to the individual school districts. I remember they have this, this program where the sheriff or the police department teaches DARE. Well, I haven't seen DARE taught in years, but they still say that they have it. I don't know where the program is.
Yeah, that used to be a national program, I do believe.
I know they have police officers who should be DARE trained, but I also know that where I live, they have sheriff and police deputies in the schools who are not DARE trained. Therefore, the children do not get any type of anti-bullying training on a regular basis as a course of study. And that just brought to my mind that that's something I need to address. Okay. So once we know it's not happening, then it's up to somebody to address it. We're supposed to have it. Why isn't it happening? Where's the funding? Where's the money? But it takes people to address it, to talk to folk about these issues. And not just the regular people, talk to legislators about it. And let the legislators go back, come on down to the school district and say, well, where's the money that we've been sending to you?
Well, we're going to take another short break. We're going to take another short break, Regina. And I want to share another tragic story with you. One along the same lines as with the young lady being killed in the schools. Because I just think that as a society, at some point, we have to start thinking about how we're going to save the lives of citizens and what are we going to do to try to bring people in line in regards to what is humane behavior. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back for our last story to end the show. Again, some music to remind. Your host, James Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I'm going to share this last story with you. Again, one as tragic as the last one we spoke about, with a little girl dying in school behind classmates fighting. But this is where what America has come to. And in our communities, in our cities, and in our states, we need to address all this violence that's taking place across our country and the behavior of humans and how they're acting. And I have never been put in a position where I had to be called to action to save a person's life. But I pray to God that I act in a humane fashion if it ever comes up. Let me just give you this story. A man went into a 7-Eleven, and some kind of altercation took place inside the store, and the store had security. So security forced the man who was a part of the altercation to leave and to go outside the store. Then another gentleman who was just a customer went outside and was confronted by this man who had been thrown out of the store. The man hit him so hard that he knocked him out and he fell into the street. The store owner and security called police but did not go outside the store to assist the customer in any fashion. And not only did people just walk by the man, not giving him any assistance, two people raced over and rifled through his pockets, stealing from him as he lay unconscious in the street. And again, a number of people passed by, watched him. No one at any point reached over and tried to pull the man out of the street. And within minutes, a taxi drove by and drove over the man. And he eventually died as a result of being hit and ran over by a taxi. And this young man was in his 30s, finishing his job as a DJ, going to the store to buy something to drink or something to eat, and ending up dead, not only because of the man who assaulted him, but because of people who did not see a need to at least pull the man out of the street. And that's what I mean by humanity. Where has our humanity gone to? Where is it that have we gotten to the point where we just clearly don't understand life and the preciousness of life? That we would allow someone to remain in the street when cars are passing by and not recognize the danger of him being in the street and the possibility of him being hit by a car. And it makes you just wonder. It just makes you feel just, my God, what were those people thinking? Why wouldn't they intervene? You know, and it hurts your heart that a family had to watch on videotape their loved one being knocked out on the street and no one willing to help him or assist him in any fashion. Regina, had you heard about that story?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
It's just it's crazy, Regina.
No.
It's crazy.
And
a man just going about his life, doing his job, getting off from his job, going. Now his family sued the taxi company that hit him, and they're in the process of suing 7-Eleven. But it's like, my God, couldn't somebody just reach down and drag the man out of the street so that he wouldn't be hit?
As you were reading it, you did a wonderful job of drawing that picture. I started thinking, what would I have done had I been there? And I can really see myself going out into the street and trying to stop the people from rummaging through his pockets. And I could see myself trying to direct traffic around his body or around him as he lied there unconscious until the police could get there. I could see both my daughter and myself doing that. And it's unfortunate that those folk didn't have the empathy that I have for humanity. And everybody, I guess, I don't know.
And it just seems like, you know, you have to, I'm sorry, 7-Eleven needs to be held accountable. They stay open 24 hours. They encourage people to come to their store. And if you're going to encourage people to come to your store, you ought to be willing to intervene in what takes place as a result of them coming to your store. You know, you have to take some responsibility for that man's existence when he came to be a customer at your store.
Think that they have to take responsibility for his existence after he walks out of their facility?
Well, what I'm saying was he was still on, I would say he was still in, had he gone down the street? No. But when he's outside your door and you, he just left your premises and you can see him outside of your door and know he was a, your customer, I'm saying this wasn't someone who left them and they didn't see it. They saw him and they called the police, but they didn't even venture out to pull the man out of the street. And it was the kind of store that, you know, you have some of these 7-Elevens or stores that are right on the corner, that are like corner stores. But had he been at a regular 7-Eleven, he would have been on their property. But the only reason why he wasn't on their property was because the sidewalk was right outside the store. And so, therefore, when he got knocked out, he got knocked out away from their area. But he was still in eyesight of them, and they saw him in the street. So, listen, this was one of your customers.
I have seen those are franchises, if I'm not mistaken. And
they are. Some of them are and some of them aren't.
And we don't know whether this was a franchise that was purchased by folk who
right.
may
I,
not.
I wasn't given that information.
Right. Some people may not want to intervene. They may be afraid of what's going to happen to them if they should intervene. And I'm trying to say that without getting into a whole nother aspect, but I see it all the time. People are buying these stores. They own these stores, but all they want is the money. They don't care about anything else outside of their doors. Nothing.
All right. Regina, I tell you, we're getting cut off. I guess we had so much to talk about. Guys, I want to see you on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And take care, and we look forward to talking with you. Sorry about going too long, but, hey, we got so much to talk about and so much to do. Take care, everybody. See you later. Oh, yeah.